Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right.
Yeah. Hi, this is Steve Zodiac from Zodiac Space Dogs. Check us out on YouTube. And this is my Dumpty Dum.
I'm Kate Mattacani Aldridge. For now, anyway. I'd like to welcome you to Spiritual Home. As a client of Spiritual Home, you've already shown that you're someone with an enlightened aura. Someone better, like me. So, I'd like to suggest that you also support Dumpty Dum at patreon.com. If you do, you can get their extra content. It's the actual meaningful stuff. Not the usual drivel. It doesn't matter how much you sponsor them for. I think they're pretty desperate, to be honest. Okay? Patreon.com. And, obviously, if you ever need a vaginal steaming, you know where I am. Blessings.
Harriet, you are a bloody genius. You really are.
No, but so are you. You wrote it, but that was all...
Spiritual Home. She does something really weird with the vowels that only Kate does, and now only Harriet and Kate do. It's incredible.
It is all levels of genius. Well done, all concerned in the making of that little ad. Because, folks, this is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the Cinderella, that is Roifield Brown, and with me I have the ugly sister, that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Matt's trip to the ball, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum was Mr. Zodiac and his goings-on. But, you know, last week I heard you talk to Robert, and you said that it reminded you of prog rock. And it does, but it's also a mashup with Doctor Who, isn't it?
Well, I was thinking prog rock. And then this week I thought, actually, when you go back and watch all the really wobbly old Doctor Who's in sort of the 1970s, and where the monster's heads fall off and all the scenery, all the walls and what all the walls of the TARDIS are wobbly, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like wobbly walls. Yeah. Cybermen. The first episode of Doctor Who I ever remember were giant slugs going across a field. Scared the heck out of me. Utterly horrible. But anyway, Luce, if somebody wants to send... we've got to put an impassioned plea here, haven't we? We need some common or garden crap dum-de-dums.
Yeah.
That's not to take away from the sterling efforts of Magic Badger and Zodiac and his magic didgeridoo goings-on. But we need... Because the bar's been set so high that I think it's a deterrent for people, as you would say, with their kazoos.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't need a synthesizer. You can hum it. It's fine.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. So if somebody wants to do that, Luce, just hum a dumpty dum. Mm. Just sound pretty like forlorn and a bit like crap, right? How can they do that?
If you would like to hum us a dumpty dum, a Dumpty Hum, leave us a plot prediction, or fly 2,900 miles to attend a job interview with a boyfriend without mentioning it to him, then call us on 02-03-03-1-3-1-0-5 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, and to the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, and to Derek for the Loan in the Back Bedroom. Derek is in absolute shock today. He was so surprised to hear about Kevin Spacey being gay. God knows what will happen when he finds out what bears do in woods.
American Beauty is one of my favourite films.
It's a great film. What? It's very disturbing what's coming out about Mr. Spacey, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, no, not him. I liked him.
Yeah, well, stop liking
him. It's like Rolf Harris.
I know, stop liking him now. Basically, now you know the 1970s have been ruined. Now the whole of entertainment has also been ruined. Anyway, never mind.
Oh, God, not Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Well, you know, it's all, nothing's proved yet and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's really put a downer on your day, that has.
Sorry.
Right, so on this week's episode, we hear views from New York Nigel, who has a pop at Lucy. Hurrah! Miss Bubbles, who says that Lillian needs to count more than two. And Jenny Darling, who thinks Johnny's letting down the North. But first, before all the caller inners and the odd email, it's Juicy Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
This Week in Ambridge was sponsored by Murder on the Orient Express and the phrase, walk with me. We began it unpleasantly with Toby and Pip snogging. Ugh! Apparently she looked entirely ravishing in a frayed jumper with a reindeer on it. Who'd want to snog anyone who wears a flipping Christmas jumper in October? Shula announced that Anisha had lost her mother. Has she checked the service station? It's like a lost and found for dead mothers in Ambridge. Then all was revealed. Anisha had gone up to Scotland to tend to her ill mother, and within 24 hours she was dead. When is this woman's trail of destruction going to end? She should move to St Mary Mead. The potential baby donor for Adam and Ian is coming down from Bristol to see them. She wanted to see us in our space, said Adam in his usual, and now on the World's Greatest Murders channel voice. Now, it's nothing to do with me, but anyone who talks about your space rather than your house is A, Kate Madicane, or B, so clearly not to be trusted, I would rather ask Bert Fry to carry my unborn child. Nolitando and Freddie were smoking weed in the rain. God, how very glamorous is the life of the rural teen. They then progressed to eating mushrooms they found in the wood, the single most dangerous pastime in the British countryside, and I am including hunting and being shot at by furious farmers. You really, really need to know what you are doing, and those two geniuses were probably eating fox shit. They're a right little snotty pair, those two. Nolitando is under the impression that she could get straight A's if she likes. Really? Freddie can only get E's, and that's only if someone gives him Jazza's mobile number. Meanwhile, over at Gay Grables, Kathy was feeling a little icky and has come down with food poisoning. You should have heard her. Oh, no, you can't. In a startlingly weird bit of plotting, Lexi turned up for a job interview at Gay Grables despite having daily Skype calls with Roy and completely failing to mention the fact that she was flying across Europe to be interviewed by him the very next day. She got the job, obviously, but no one mentioned in the interview at any point how exactly she was going to manage the job, bearing in mind she lives in a different country, where she was going to stay in Ambridge, how she'd even heard about the job. Details, details. I should really stop worrying about little things like this and concentrate on the important stuff, like Alistair's dinner jacket. No one is going to know whether Alistair is wearing a rented tux or an owned one, unless it is the one Adam rented for the New Year's do at Gay Grables with Charlie, in which case it may need a bit of sponging around the crotch. Anyway. Shula is up to her ears in incompetent vets and cupcake towers and is suspicious of everybody, particularly Matt. She's slightly hysterical and also has the single worst ringtone in the world. She has different ringtones, though, for different people. That is the mark of someone either having an affair or running a chat line. Do we know that she's not? Hi, this is Sexy Shula. I'm a hunting mummy with a crop. Have you been a bad boy? Why don't I saddle you up and tickle your withers? Would you be my little boy? Oh, go on, I'll pay you. She went, as she so often unwisely does, to gain comfort from her mother, who always manages to make things ever so slightly worse. Jill listened carefully, then said mystifyingly, "It's like building a house of cards. You spend ages building it, then some twat bangs the door behind you and the old bloody lot falls down. Tea?" "I look at Justin sometimes when he's engrossed in a task," said Lillian, like trying to put his wellies on the right feet, "and I wonder when he's going to surprise me." Then she decided she was going to stop worrying about it and concentrate on her clothes and her honeymoon and the important things. "It's not about what colour people wear to my wedding. It's about me and whichever one of my many grooms I decide on the day," said Lillian comfortably. "If something is wrong, Lillian, you would tell me, wouldn't you?" said Jennifer. "Oh, yes, I'm bound to tell you, darling," said Lillian, "you massive gob on legs. All it will take is half a shandy and you'll be showing people videos of me and Matt doing horizontal dressage under the Gay Grables buffet table." Meanwhile, at Momentum headquarters, Jimus and Emma continued their plot to overthrow capitalism, the planning committee, the patriarchy, people that don't like vintage cars, Shula, and anyone else they fancied overthrowing. Emma was fired up, put her Hillary for President badge on, and went marching off to the mother and baby group to address them through a mouth of bacon sandwich about how hard life is. "But can Emma see it through?" said Linda, who is no mistress of dedication herself. She said she'd run the village fete, then abandoned it to Fallon and Emma, and has threatened to walk out of the Christmas show every year since Henry Arch was a blob of kefir on an agar plate. But to conclude, it is no coincidence in my mind that the BBC's big drama this year is Murder on the Orient Express. Tiger has been wandering around Ambridge, winding people up to fever pitch. A bit of casual homophobia here, a little bribery there, until everyone is ready to kill him. He told Adam he was all about Adam and Eve, whereas Adam is obviously all about Adam and Ian and Charlie and Pavel and the band of the Coldstream Guards if they let him. Told Shula that the fact that Alistair had hired the one-woman death squad that is Anisha Jayakode was the problem, not him. Caught Lillian in her Spanx again in Underwoods, trying on a backless, frontless, crotchless formal evening gown, and for all we know, ate all of David's fruit salads, which everyone knows are not half as nice as sherbet fizzies. And he's given Lillian an ultimatum. Marry the House of Elliot and live with a man who thinks foreplay is watching the Antiques Roadshow beforehand, or go to live somewhere with Matt. He never actually specified where, did he? How annoying if she goes with him and it turns out to be Brussels. Keep the ticket, Lillian, and give it to Shula instead. Lovely surprise for both of them. The end.
Oh, Freeman, this is what I'm doing. I can honestly say that was better than last week. That was the best ever. It was well done. Oh, thank my you. Gosh. I laughed all the way through.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for enlivening my Monday mornings. Though, I will pull you to task about one thing.
Yes.
You said that Jimus and Emma want to overthrow not only the patriarchy, but also people that like classic cars.
That don't like vintage cars, I said.
Oh. God damn. Yeah, he has a Riley. Mm. Oh, God, all right. Mm.
Sorry.
God. Right then. So, you know what? I think one of the reasons why your monologue was so good this week was because there was loads of things in the Archers last week.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's like the Matt just, you know, yeah. No one, bar no one, can defend the man now.
No.
Can you?
I was still right, with him until he started on at Adam. And then I thought, right, fuck off. That's it. I've had it with you now.
No, I think I'd just about bail just beforehand. But by the end of the week, there was absolutely no going back, was there? I was just like, no. You are just an evil shit. You just are. You just are, Matt. There's nothing more to you than that. You're a proper wrong'un, right? But you know, I'm still in love, still enamoured with the whole parish council thing. Because it's so twee. And it's just so lovely.
Yep.
And it is about a generational revolution, getting a Grundy on there, a Grundy Carter.
A Grundy woman.
Yes, exactly. Well, the real power behind the throne, you know. So it is kind of Game of Thrones.
And I love Nick and Emma sort of ganging up with each other and sort of working together to make it happen. Jim are supporting and
getting rid of the flyers, Robert's flyers, and all
of... and bloody Linda is just being so awful.
She's a snotty cow.
She really. Sometimes she's slightly endearing, and then when she does things, when she's saying, "Oh, Emma, Emma, presentation is everything," I'm thinking, "Oh, shut up, you ass!" It's was really, she really, really was unpleasant.
Well, but I like the little reference to bacon sandwiches as well. You know, strong and stable, and bacon sandwiches. You know. I know. I see what you've done there. That's quite good. I'm loving the whole smorgasbord of it. Yeah. But then, you know, you've still got the Adam and Ian baby malarkey, which is really putting me to sleep. Mm-hmm. Though, as you said, what I did like about Matt's homophobia, and don't get me wrong, people, if people want to tune out this part, going, what? Royfield likes a bit of homophobia, was the fact that they've actually addressed the fact there was some homophobia.
Yeah.
That not everybody is going to be...
This is a small British village, and not everyone is going to go, okay, that's cool. That's absolutely great. There's going to be people going, two men can't have a baby. You know, is there's always
how does that work, then?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. So I say thumbs up to that. Then also, Nolitando talking about the fact that people stare at her when she walks around the village. That would happen.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, you know, I'd like that too.
However, what wouldn't happen is somebody going to an interview, being shortlisted for an interview, and the person that interviews them has not seen the shortlist, has not looked at the CVs, and does not know that it's his own girlfriend who is coming to the interview.
That was I'm sorry, piss poor.
Yeah.
Right.
It really I kept thinking, are you going to mention? Oh, we're not. We're just not mentioning it. Okay, then fine. Well, whatever.
Well, they wanted the reveal, but the reveal was so obvious. It had been so, you know, that trail had been so marked that it was just, you know, considering there was so much great writing.
A reveal. Roy just went, oh, hello, Lexi. Because he's a bit thick, you know. Oh, I thought you were in another country. Now you're in this country. Oh, you know. Oh, God.
But do we think, though, that Lexi and I suppose she's getting in before Brexit, though, isn't she? So it's all right, because our government has said that any European left ear after Brexit, as long as you've got illegally beforehand, you're going to be all right. So it doesn't really matter. So it's not exactly going to change Roy's views on the whole Brexit malarkey and him being phobic towards foreigners. Yeah. Foreignophobic. No, it isn't really, is it? But anyway, so we had that, the world's most obvious reveal. What else did we have last week?
Shula throwing glasses around and getting really, really upset with Matt. But she's just, I've never known anyone make more of event management is really, really tricky. It's interesting that her sister, the event manager, and her niece, the event manager, she hasn't called upon them for any help at all. She's just trying to struggle on, do it all herself. And it's not, you know, it's a really, really difficult thing. And it's not something you can do while you've already got another job. It's impossible to do something on that scale, you know.
Mm. So, and whilst the two businesses are falling around their ears as well.
Yeah.
Mm. No, Matt's a bang wrong. And, you know, no need for that. That's if you were Shula and Matt's run out of petrol down the lane, you just drive past. Yeah. I know she's a Christian and all. And Matt did say, you are a Christian. You have got to help me because you are a Christian. Right. Yeah, good Samaritan and all of that. But you know what? No. Right. He's tried.
I'd have reversed over him, I think.
Well, no. Isn't that Justin Elliott? Sorry, plot spoiler.
A sales assistant would not let a man into the ladies' changing room. They could stand outside, right, but not in.
Yes. But you know, after saying that, I thought there's loads of great writing last week, and there were. Yeah. The Roy Lexi thing, come on. You are going to say, oh, Roy, by the way, I'll meet you for a cup of coffee because I've got an interview at the place where you work.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. You're going to say so. And as you rightly said, they Skype each other.
Yeah.
And we know that. So, that
mentioned this week. They said, how is it going? I can't remember. Was it Pip was talking to somebody? Oh, yeah, apparently they Skype each other every day.
Yeah, it's just
bonkers. Why bring that up if you're then going to pretend that they don't actually know what's happening with the other
Lucy,
ones?
It's bonkers. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
Right. Then the whole Matt just turning up, you know, in the changing room.
Yeah.
Now, obviously.
Everywhere. It's like a flipping ninja. I'm getting quite worried about drawing the curtain because Matt's standing behind him.
Obviously, we're supposed to put two and two together and realise that Matt's having some kind of... He's having an episode, isn't he? Yes, he loves Lillian, but he is going to slightly do Lally.
Yeah.
That, you know, so he's... And as you rightly said, it is like Murder on the Orient Express. Everybody's got a legitimate bit. He's tussled with Justin, tussled with Adam. He's turning up in ladies' changing rooms, you know. He's run out of petrol in the lane. It's like, bloody hell.
He's discovered the secret of perpetual motion. The man never sleeps. He just goes from house to house. Ah! That's in my fridge.
Yeah, it's just, but anyway.
He's got that bloody bunting as well.
That would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
Nothing but makes any sense at the moment.
But wait a minute. But the bunting was discovered, wasn't it? Because didn't it come out... The Grundys had it.
Did they?
Yeah. Listeners, tell me if I'm wrong, but there was an event, like the start of the summer, and bunting appeared, and it was like the Grundys had it. Don't malign the poor working class rural folk here, but I think, basically, the Grundys had the bunting all along. That's the way I read it. But hey, I could be wrong. Somebody call in next week, email in and tell me that I am wrong. All right. Preferably call in and say that I'm right.
Even all right. If you're wrong, yeah.
Shall we do this now then?
Yeah.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
What is it, Ruth? I thought that got that wrong. So who's first then, Lucy?
I think we're going to have... Who are we going to have? Who would you like to have first? We could have New York Nigel first.
All right, then.
As he's feeling a bit feisty.
Hi there, everyone. It's New York Nigel here. Lillian is annoying. If a man did the same thing, we would all find that difficult. What makes Lillian special? Yep, she's a bit of a fun and she makes everyone feel like it's okay to be themselves, but the story puts men in control. I don't like that as much as anyone else does. Matt is a man, capital M. Lillian is a small m. L, I mean. What does she want? She's vacillating, confused, manipulative. I love the way she's compared with Emma Grundy and the ghastly manipulating Shula. They actually have more power than she does. She's supposed to be in love with two men at the same time, which is okay for women, but not for men. So, Adam knows marriage better than Matt does. He's gone through much more than Matt ever has. Witness the kind knickers and the not very Christian comment. Matt is horrible. Forget Shula for a minute. He's a bastard. Sorry, Lucy, if you want a bit of fun with a dangerous person, that's your own business. You seem to think that women always get it right. Give us gays and men who love women for themselves a bit of a break.
Thank
Give
you.
Give straight guys a bit of a break too.
Thank
We're
you.
As stupid and just as assertive and manipulative as women like Lillian and Shula are. Love the story between Nolitando and Freddie. They rung the changes and didn't rely on the Grundys to make it work. And that's it. Love what you're doing. Hate Shula. Lillian is verging on caricature. What does she want? Apart from messing men around. That's about it. Bye.
I couldn't agree more with every word that Vicar says from the Upper East Side. two stand up and applause for me this week, Lucy.
Yes. What did you mean that Nolly and Freddie were ringing the changes?
I didn't get that either. No. So I agreed with every word, though I didn't understand every word.
I have had my on the road to Damascus moment, Nigel. Do not fear. Matt is a geek. Right. But also Lillian chooses those sort of men, doesn't she? She doesn't choose nice men who love women for who they are. She is drawn to men who are very powerful or who appear to be very powerful. You know, even old that idiot, that toy boy.
Oh, because he wasn't powerful. He was just exciting because he was young.
But he was very glamorous looking. He was very, very handsome. So there's, they've always got to have... She never, ever likes anybody just for their personality. They've got to have some kind of...
No, that's not true, Luce. Because Paul, Matt's brother, he was pretty ordinary. He didn't have a great job or anything.
No, that's true.
There's always an element of danger, and the danger was here with him. It was Matt's brother. Mm-hmm. Though I think she genuinely fell for him because he was just a nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it was all the subterfuge. Yeah, and then he went off the rails, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, New York Nigel, can I just say that I am loving the new sign-off. Love what you're doing. Hate Shula. That's brilliant. I love that.
Also, was it me, or do you think he's got a little bit of a sore throat? He sounded a little bit husky, didn't he?
He did.
More husk than normal, anyway.
Yes. There's a bit of huskage going on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get well soon, or suck on a Strepsil or something. You know, look after yourself, Nigel, up there in... in the Upper East Side. Is that Nigel dealt with?
It is. It's first time caller in or a Jenny darling now.
Ooh.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. Long time listener, first time caller in or a here. I'm not on the Twitters, so I don't have a handle, as it were, but I do like the idea of having an Ambridge nickname. And as my name is Jennifer, I'll go for Jenny darling. But let me stress, this is where the similarities begin and end. Now, for the first time caller in Inara rules, I'm from just outside Leeds. I'm a project manager. My vintage is a Johnny, so quite recent, and I remember this vividly because he's from Guiseley, which is where I live. And after being presented with a slap-up tea by Pat, he proclaimed that where he were from, they just ate sandwiches in front of telly. Oh dear, what a bad impression of the North Johnny gives, really. But now the rules are out of the way. I had to call in as I've just cringed my way through the episode where Tolly Nando's and Feckless Freddy have done mushrooms, and I'm not sure I'll ever recover. The thought that Freddy has an eyebrow ring makes me dislike the poor sap even more, and my fury for Tolly Nando's is still simmering away. She's making me like Kate. That's how bad it's gotten. Anyway, I'll bugger off. Ta-ta for now.
When did Nolly become Nolly Tando's?
Tolly Nando's, she keeps
Tolly Nando's, yeah. Well, whatever, I just loved it.
Well, Nolly said that she refused to be called Nolly Tando, didn't she? No, it's the other way around. Nolly Tando refused to be called Nolly.
Mm.
Because she said it was childish, Mum.
But she puts an S on the end.
Yeah, well, no, that's just...
I like
Jenny
it.
That's being it, amusing, Tolly Nando's.
I like it, yes. Mm.
Can I just say, Jenny darling has got the most beautiful voice. I could listen to her talk all day. She's got such a lovely voice. Anyway.
I like her manner too.
Yes.
There's a little bit of abruptness there. It's a little bit sharp, but, you know, tells it as it is, like she's proper from up north. You know,
yes.
No messing around. Though, what I would say, though, is about the, you know, just having... sandwiches in front of telly, that's less of a northern thing, more of a just, you know, modern life, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, so I think you could berate people from the south for that too, right? So
I know,
but
I think that's what she meant, that it was called out as, you know, oh, in Guiseley, this is what we do, rather than just this is
that's
this
just
is
what people do.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Okay, sorry.
Nolly Tando is making her like Kate. I actually. It's weird that, because much as I loathe Kate and think she deserves everything she gets, no one deserves Nolly Tando. No one, not even Matt, deserves Nolly Tando.
Does it
he
make
really
us
is,
like
really, really?
Kate, revolting. Do we sympathise with her in this one regard? I think it's sympathy in one regard.
Yeah. And as the mother of a teenager who is going through her own Tolly Nando's little episode, I can kind of, yes, I sympathise with any mother of a teenager.
Mm.
Yes.
Did I tell you that my son was caught drinking at his after-school sports meet 2 weeks ago?
Ooh, no.
Yeah. And when the deputy head rang his mother to say, your son's been caught drinking, and she says, and when I was told by the teacher it was Noah Tilson Brown, I went, not Noah. Right? Not Noah.
You've got... the other Noah Tilson Brown. Oh, that one. No.
Yeah. Teenagers, they can be a bit of a handful. But I don't think you were particularly a handful, though, were you?
Mm. Oh, I think I probably was, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Pray tell, how so?
Oh. Ooh. Just, it's that awful, awful sense of entitlement and your conviction that you're right and everyone else is wrong, and that only you have realised these amazingly interesting things about the world, and now you're going to tell everyone about them. You know, it's just hideous, really.
My mother said to me some years ago, about 10 years ago, she said, I've become more of a worry the older I've got.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she says, you were a lovely child as a teenager, you weren't a problem, apart from when you got suspended from school, but you were lovely. The older I've got, the more I've just gone off the rails, according to my mother, but anyway.
Is she all right now, by the way?
Oh, gosh, yeah, she's fine. And she's still talking incessantly about her 70th birthday celebrations in Jamaica at Christmas. So there's 13 of us going. And,
wow.
You know, grandkids flying in from Canada and people from here and people from there and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
Wow.
Every day there is a new update. You know, the travel agent said this, the hotel have said that, have you got this, blah blah blah, have you? This has been going on for 4 months, Lucy. 4 months of incessant bulletins from Birmingham regarding my mother's 70th
Birmingham birthday bulletin. Da, 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 da.
So much so, this is how much it's crowded out everything else. It is like a solar eclipse on every other family occasion. My father was 74 on Tuesday. My mother completely forgot his birthday.
Oh, no!
So much so. So I called the next day. Right, okay, I'd forgotten too. But hell, I'm in California. Right, I don't live with the man. Right. And now I know my father's birthday is the 24th of October. I've known this for 48 years. Right, so I thought the 24th of October was Tuesday. Speaking to my mother on Wednesday, which I thought was the 25th. And I said, what do you do, what are you going to do for Dad's birthday? She went, it was yesterday. I went, no, it's the 24th today. She went, no, it's the 25th. And I looked at my computer and went, oh my God. So I'm like, well, woman, get off the phone. Let me ring my father. Hi, Dad. Happy birthday for yesterday. And he went, what do you do? He went, well, I went downstairs, made myself a cup of tea, made myself breakfast, made your mum breakfast, cut the lawn, sat down. I thought, well, your mum's going to want to do something at lunchtime. She didn't. So I went for a drive in the car, and then I brought it back. I washed the car, and I thought, well, your mum's going to give me a card and do something at dinner time. She didn't. So I cooked dinner, and I went to bed. This is all after my dad is hearing daily updates about my mother's 70th birthday, and took her, because her birthday was actually October the 1st, even though we're all going to Jamaica at Christmas, took her to Portugal for her birthday on October for a week.
But he
took it in good stead. He just said, well, I just amused myself all day. Now, she said, your mother didn't even make me a cup of tea. My mum said, oh, I'm so in the doghouse. My mum's just all consumed by her own bloody 70th. Anyway. Tolly Nando's. Right.
Yes.
Kate Matakani.
We've got. Can I do the Ms. Bubbles email now?
But have we completely finished with our northern friend Jenny Darling?
We just said how awful teenagers were in general, and that actually it would make anybody side with Kate.
Okay. All right. I think we had put that to bed. Well done. Right. Email time then. Yes.
Ms. Bubbles said, the question appears to be Matt or Justin. I say neither. Justin is controlling and seems to fit in with the time when the man of the marriage made all the major decisions and the wife's job was to make him look good. Lillian just does not fit in with this. The relationship could be okay in the long run if they did a lot of work, as they do seem to care for each other. They certainly shouldn't be getting married at this stage. Matt is a crook. He took Lillian for everything she had with no explanation, apology or anything. There's no way she should be with him. If she absolutely cannot bear to be on her own, she might like to get to know Welsh Philip a bit better. He seems like a nice man. Everyone's obsessed with Welsh Philip. What do you think is actually going to happen? Do you think she's going to go away?
Oh, God, no. No. If she did, you know what? She's just properly potty and bonkers. And we've been led somewhat up a garden path, and she has no sense at all. She cannot. Because as you rightly said, I think Mac did say Ecuador, right? But if he did say Ecuador...
When he gave her the tickets in the changing room, he didn't say where. He just said, here's your ticket to escape.
But he did say it sometime before. Again, listener, tell me if I'm wrong, but he did say Ecuador. Because I remember it's not Costa Rica. It's still somewhere in Latin America. And he said something like his work is kind of done in Costa Rica. He now needs to go to Ecuador. And I remember thinking Ecuador, but he didn't say where in Ecuador. You know, I know, Quito, I don't know. So, and it wasn't as if he said to Lillian, okay, so I've got an apartment here and, you know, this is how it could work. He just said, just come away with me. And let's be honest about it, right? She's a woman of what, 70? What is she, late 60s? You're going to need to give somebody the kind of setup of how the thing's going to work. You know, if you're 20, just run away with me and we'll just figure it out on the spot. But, like, this is just craziness. So, no, she can't. No, she can't. The question is the unravelling of Matt. That's what I think. This is what it's all about, really. Yeah. And whatever destruction he's going to create in the unravelling's wake, and then how things can be put back together.
Yeah.
You know, because as you rightly said, and again, you're very perceptive in these things, it's murder on the Orient Express. Many people have a motive for giving him a kick in, a twat in, or a slap in, you know. So
I just love the way every time he greets anyone, they kind of go, "You off then? See ya, bye." Yeah. basically pushing him out of the door as they go.
So, you know. And we did have years ago the whole reason why Matt is the way that he is, because he felt abandoned by his mum. And did he not know his father?
I don't think his father was around for very long.
There's some, and then his mother, rejected him. Can't remember the reasons why. But the mother didn't reject Paul or something. I forget exactly the detail, but. I get it. He feels alone and he's entrepreneurial kind of because of it. And I think you said, I think when you were with Robert, that you said that Matt is actually quite a good reader of people, like many criminals actually are.
Yeah, you know. Absolutely.
But still, it's one... But it's one thing to go into a village with a small amount of people and just to be despised, loathed, to rile people up. Because it's unrelenting. Whereas, you know, if you do it in a big city, you can be somewhat anonymous, can't you?
Yeah.
You know.
But there is nobody on his side now. Nobody.
No, absolutely not.
He's on his own. But it's kind of... I always picture Matt as actually physically small. I think of Justin as quite sort of tall and stooped, and I think of Matt as small. And I picture him kind of like the little man trying to sort of ba- battle. He come, whatever happens, he comes out windmilling, doesn't he? He comes out sort of, you know, swinging, trying to just bash everyone that he can find.
Hmm.
And, you know, a big village with a big social hierarchy, and he's just got to get in there and smash it up.
And the thing is, though, he did do really well before, didn't he? Because he was on, you know, chairman of Borsetshire Land and all of that malarkey, and, you know, he had his mates Chalky, and there's been no mention of Chalky this time, has there? And there's Chalky and somebody else he always...
Or is he out now?
Well, if Matt's out, I presume Chalky's got to be out. There was Chalky and somebody else who were his mates, and there's been
Wiseman.
None of that.
It was Stephen Chalkman and somebody Wiseman.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Anyway, I don't bloody get it, but you know, I just think it's a great storyline. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's somewhat sad that one of the characters who created shade to the light of everybody else, because everybody else is just so nice and twee and middle class and nice. Mm. You know, it's definitely got to be written out soon, because this is just craziness. He's got to be, like, you know, run out of the village. You know, he's not a Rob Titchener, but, you know, he's only a few rungs down, really.
Well, he's either got to be brought under control by somebody and be assimilated into the Borg in the village, or he's, you know, or
he could be spayed or something. You know, do you think he... Calm
you need
down.
A bloody zap collar like your dog. In fact, he bears a lot of similarities to your dog.
Shut up. Let's move on.
It's adverts now, is it?
Oh, yes. All right, then. It's time for me to do this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, it often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In an uncertain world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where you speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to vote.
Good question. Really good question.
Bake Off is back on your TV this week, albeit on a new channel and with new presenters, so it's good to know there's one thing you can rely on, and that is Kat and Mim with their soggy bottoms. Go to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. And remember, to get in contact with us, you can leave a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105. That's 0203 031 3105 to leave a message.
Shall we have a touch of Millie Bell on the old socials, Lucy?
Why not?
G'day, everyone. Well, not so much happening on the forum this week, although there is a very lively debate that was started by Audrienne Covarrubias about the triangle. So that's worth getting stuck into. But we have been very busy on the Book of Faith. We had a discussion about whether people were for Team Matt or Team Justin. And I think we can say that most people are split, except for those people who said, well, I'm just for Team Lillian. A great thread there. So get stuck into that. If you would like to add to that, there's still time to add to that. We also talked about what you might like for our 200th show, which is fast approaching. So if you'd like to comment on that and give Royf and Lucy some ideas, please get onto there and make your needs known. And Witherspoon, who has now joined us on the Book of Faith, wondered if anybody has ever felt as indecisive, as in choosing between two potential partners, as Lillian in the romance department. He invited you to share your story if you dare. And I have to say that people have been pretty honest. So I won't read those out over the podcast, but I do encourage you to get involved there. We also commented on the fact that we love Joe's story today. It was great writing, although we are having great writing at the moment. So perhaps every day is just a good day on the Archers. We wondered whether anyone had any ideas about what Matt is really up to and whether it's just a power struggle. Joanne Smith said, I think he's clearly correct in thinking that Lillian prefers him to Justin. She basically told Adam that if she meets Matt face to face, she won't be able to resist running away with him. I think Matt just loves her, and if he didn't try his best to win her over before he leaves, he'd spend the rest of his life wondering if he should have done more. I have no idea what he's doing with Latif, though. I know Anisha dropped Matt when she didn't need him anymore, but trying to ruin the business in retaliation seems a bit harsh for him, in my opinion. That sounds more like something Justin would resort to. There's definitely a division of opinions on that thread. And I have to say that the only thing I didn't like was I really feel as though Matt is starting to stalk Lillian. And I wish they would actually discuss that as an issue, because he just always seems to know where she is and pops up. And that's a little bit Rob-like, isn't it? And we didn't like that either. We also talked about Nolly and Freddie and wanted some predictions for how that would end. Jacqueline Berto said, I haven't heard this episode yet, but it sounds very predictable. First time I heard them together, I thought they would be the next love interest. I predict an overreaction from Kate and a nonchalance from Elizabeth, or maybe the other way round. Paul Schler says, we knew where this was heading as soon as the writers gave Lily a gratuitous speech explaining that they're only second cousins once removed. Still, the Fred Euthando love child will doubtlessly have his brains and her personality. Oh, a bit harsh, Paul. So lots of people commented on the fact that we had actually been we had this little storyline thrown to us that they were only second cousins, so something was expected to happen there. So we'll see if you're right. I must admit, when Adam went home and said he'd hit Matt, and Ian immediately said, oh, this could ruin all of our chances, I thought that was such a leap. I didn't buy into that. I didn't think it was very plausible. But we discussed whether an assault charge would make any difference. Shelley Crockett says, I really didn't find it credible that Adam would almost immediately resort to violence with Matt, needling him about him and Ian wanting to have a child. They live in a rural farming community where surely not everyone is going to react to a gay couple having a child in the warm, fuzzy, right-on way, or without exception, their extended family have. Adam in real life would have to have a thicker skin than was demonstrated in this face-off with Matt. Actually, that's absolutely true. He would need to be thick-skinned, wouldn't he? And Christina Vining said, I think Matt said all of that merely to get under Adam's skin, not because he thinks he or cares enough to have an opinion. Adam should have realised this too and not taken the bait.
A bit of both.
Yes, this is true. And we also talked about the fact that Matt cannot help stirring the pot, can he? And he does seem to just like to stir up anybody he sees. Gordon Jackson said, every good story writer needs a baddie. Maybe he'll appear dead somewhere, and we have to guess who done it. Shula, Alistair, Adam, Justin and Lillian all have a motive. So there you go, peeps. We are on the forum on Dumpty Dum, and we are also on Facebook, and we would love to see you there. Hooroo!
Toodle-pip. Right. And some great comment there, wouldn't you say, there, Luce? Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep.
Right. Everyone's echoing your Murder on the Orient Express there, aren't they? Yep.
But also what whoever it was, I've forgotten now, whoever it was that said about, you know, not everyone is going to have warm and fuzzy feelings about a gay couple adopting.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a level of what, you know, there just is.
Yeah. But then also the call afterwards who said they didn't actually buy that Matt would actually think that, and he was just winding Adam up. Obviously he was winding Adam up, but I think there's a bit of both. It's a little bit of both. It's a case of, you know, he's only being the Daily Mail incarnate to wind Adam up, because that's what Matt does. He winds people up, you know. Yeah. And yes, yeah. Adam should actually have more of a thicker skin. But do you remember a few weeks ago when I said that one of the reasons why I like Alistair is because he's a man on the edge? Mm. You know, I'm not going to say I like Adam because he's a man on the edge, but he is on a tightrope all the time, isn't he? He's always just, you know, one heartbeat away from having an argument with Brian, you know, or feeling like his marriage is about to end with Ian.
Yeah.
You know, he's always, you know, he's always tired and stressed and just, you know, tightly wound. So, and you really get that sense. So the fact that he would just flip made...
Yeah.
Complete and utter sense to me, because it wasn't just the fact that he came out with these homophobic comments, it's also he's trying to defend his aunt who he's very close to, so that you know, and he was wound up.
And also the people with a guilty conscience are always the most judgmental about these things, so the fact that he has himself been unfaithful and is still dealing with the fallout from that in terms of his future with Ian, it makes him ultra aware of him, ultra protective of Lillian, and ultra kind of sensitive to it in general.
Yeah, because he sees Matt as a
real threat, because he knows what can happen.
I tell you what would have been good though.
What?
Like when Matt said all that to him, if you just looked at him and just saw Charlie and then just snogged the face off Matt, and then Matt just got into it as well, and they just ended up rolling around in a cow field, just like kissing and lots of... That would have been awesome. Probably not very likely, Lucy, but just would have been funny.
You're out of your mind, aren't you? The hell have you been watching?
Amistad Maupin's Tales in the City.
You're not getting any, Lloyd. Oh, you're not, are you? That's what's causing it. You've turned to a bit of homoeroticism to liven up your day.
Two men tussling in a field, and you know, because, you know, it's kind of Brokeback Mountain, Brokeback Lakey Hill. You know, I don't know. Anyway, Lucy, now we've had a little bit of social action. Would you like to hit us with some tweets of the week? Thank you very much, please.
People seemed to be fairly obsessed with Lillian's dress choices for her wedding, which of all the things to focus on this week was a pretty strange one. But anyway, Rachel Ware, Treacle 2, said, I wore a backless dress to a wedding once. People kept putting peanuts down it. River Wired said, how can Lillian decide what colours for the wedding when she can't decide on the groom? This is very true. Miranda. Oh, no, sorry, we're not doing that one. River Wired. Bob Hawkins, Salvatore Rosa, was talking about Lexi and said, I think she'll be under Roy in some capacity. And Christine Michael, the ever brilliant Ambridge Observer, said, Emma's pledges, natural, lemon, beeswax and that nice lavender one. Very good.
Yeah, well done. No map corner this week, folks. You're all sending in the same map, and it is very funny, but we'll save it up for a couple of weeks' time. Everybody sent in the same map, but we'll do that in a couple of weeks' time. Dumdydum.com, the Christmas fair will be on there this week. Go into the shop by, let's say, Thursday, Friday, folks. You'll be able to start ordering all of your stuff for Christmas. And, T-shirts, mugs, all sorts, coasters, you name it, mouse mats. They're going to be there with lots of great Dumdydum one-liners. So go on to dumdydum.com. Don't forget, there is also a tractor where you can pin yourself to the map and find other Dumdydum Archers obsessed listeners that are close by. And I keep on saying we're going to do a San Francisco meetup because I know Audrey Ann, who's been mentioned in this podcast, is in Alameda. And I'm going to message you, Audrey Ann, because I spoke to Robin Winning and she wanted to meet after work in the city. So if that's all right by you, then we'll arrange a date and then tell the other Dumdydummers that live in the Bay Area all about our meetup. So that's dumdydum.com. Go there. But Lucy, we are asking people to sponsor us specifically so they can have some Dumdydum extra content, aren't we?
We are.
But, right, if we put that to one side, right, how are the other ways that people can help donate and support our show?
If you would like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
Remember, folks, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe, which is available on our website, or you can call us on 0203-031-3105 to leave us a message via a telephone. It can be like a phone that's in your pocket or a phone that you have in your hallway if you're old-fashioned like that. On the socials, specifically Twitter, you can find me, Royfield, and Juicy Luce at Dumdydum, where we are at Dumdydum. Lucy is at Lucy V. Freeman, and I can be found at Royfield, which is spelled R-O-I-F-I-E-L-D. On the Book of Face, which Lucy never puts in the show notes, you can go and type in just Dumdydum, and go and join the Now Witherspoon Yokel Bear and Millie Bear triumvirate. There you go. Lucy Freeman.
Yes.
Have you ever been caught between two men? Because I tell you, you know what Millie Bell said? That people have been very honest about the time when they had to choose between two lovers. Yokel Bear story is one for the ages, and you know I won't do it justice by recounting it off the top of my head, but suffice to say that on one night he met two men, started dating them both, and they were both friends and conducted a relationship with the pair of them. I don't even know how that even works, how they would not turn around and say, oh, I met this amazing guy last night. So did I. His name was Mark. Hey, right? It was also Mark. Oh, my God. Did he look a bit like a yokel but a bear? Yes, he did. You know, but yeah, and they fell out about it, and one of them joined the priesthood.
No.
It's just...
He drove him into the hands of God. Oh, my Lord.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Sure, he did. Yes.
That's quite cool, isn't it, that you drove a man into the priesthood. Flipping heck.
Yeah, so
wow.
Unless I'm getting my stories mixed up, but no, but there's definitely two guys on the first night.
Are you sure it was Yoko Berra, not Millie Bell?
No, I think you know what, maybe the priesthood, oh, you know, maybe the priesthood thing is erroneous, and I'm thinking of Fiona Siobhan Powell.
This is how we get into trouble.
No, let's get into trouble. Let's get into trouble.
You tell people that people have driven other men into the priesthood, and it's not true, is it?
No, I'm sure it was. No, you know what? Whilst you're talking and filling, I'm going to go onto the Book of Face and just check, because I'm like 99% certain. Though, I know that Fiona Siobhan Powell also drove a man to the priesthood.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never driven them. I've driven a man to Sainsbury's, but that's as far as it goes.
But yeah, well, go on then. When were you stuck for a choice there, Lucy?
I didn't say I was.
Oh, come on. Good-looking woman like you. There must have been a time in when you're at university and, you know, there was that handsome but slightly boring guy. Then there was the even more handsome but dangerous guy. And
but even more boring. I think my problem is that if someone's funny, then I find them very irresistible, and that can get you into all sorts of messes. If you'd much as me saying about Lillian, you know, she always chooses men that have got this sort of power thing, or they've always got an extra thing. But basically, I just kept dumping people because I met someone funnier, which is not very kind, is it, really? And it kind of that trumped everything, whether they were nice people or not. It didn't matter. No. So it would never be, for me, it would never be me dumping somebody because I met somebody who was, you know, handsome and dangerous. It would be somebody who was funnier than the other person.
Huh. It's interesting. Yes. So.
Have you found it yet?
Yes, and I was right.
Really?
Yes. Yokel Bear said, I ended up with neither. The guy who dumped me gave up relationships after that, fell out permanently with the other guy, and went off to train to be a Catholic priest. I'm sure that even as a priest, he wouldn't be absolving my sins with a few Hail Marys. I'm not proud.
And Fiona Siobhan Powell did it as well.
Her story was somewhat different, but I can't remember whether it was, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, Fiona, right? You'll probably unfriend me from Facebook after this, but there were I cannot remember exactly the detail, but the sum total was, I think she rejected a gentleman and he went, screw this for a lark, I'm joining the priesthood. And that's the reason why, for a second, talking off the top of my head, I got the two things probably mixed up. But no, it was two people who I'd read within a week, two people that I know, that love interests had fallen by the wayside, and both of them had become priests.
Mm. When I was a teenager and I lived in Switzerland, I did manage to keep four boyfriends on the go at once.
What?
I wasn't sleeping with them, but I was dating them. Mm-hmm. And but in those days, we didn't do that kind of being exclusive thing. It was kind of assumed that you were, if you were going out with somebody, it was assumed that you were. And the most one of them was a Marine, an American Marine. And he got quite stroppy when I because I wasn't very nice, and I didn't handle it very well at all. And I had this horrible, horrible moment of walking into the bar where I used to go and seeing all four of them sitting round a table talking, and the Marine, and suddenly thinking, oh God, they've all realised. And then the Marine turning round and looking at me and going, oh, there you are. And them all three of them turning, all four of them sort of turning round and looking at me, and I sort of smiled weakly and reversed out of the pub at high speed. Oh God. But that was that often where you think, ha ha, I'm being so clever, I'm getting away with that, this, and then thinking, oh shit, I'm not. No, this is all now just come collapsing around my ears. That was not good.
When I was at college, and I think I might have mentioned this story on Dumpty Dum way back in the very early Dumpty Dums. So I went to Northbrook College in Worthing on the South Coast. It wasn't a particularly big college, but there was a big divide between the people who did the creative kind of courses and then the people who did travel and tourism. Like, literally, the twain should never meet. and I found myself dating a one Victoria Rendell. She's very posh, don't you know? And who did something creative, and then this other girl who was in kind of doing travel and tourism. And yeah, Worthing is hardly the biggest place in the world, let alone the student community, but there was this big divide, so you could kind of get away with it. And it's like going on for a couple of weeks, you know, and dare I say it was high on life, you know, away from home, and everything was fantastic. And I went round to Victoria's on the Sunday, and she'd gone out to this party in Brighton. So Brighton is what, some 12, 13 miles down the road. And I knew she'd gone to this party and said, "How was the party last night?" She went, "Yeah, it was good." "So what do you do? You know, was it fun? What was the music like?" She went, "Oh, met somebody who went to Northbrook College, actually." "Oh, really? Really?" You know how this story ends.
I'm cringing in anticipation.
"Yeah, yeah." "Oh, I met a Katie." I'm like, what? "I was telling her about my boyfriend. Funnily, her boyfriend is called..." "What? My boyfriend
is called..." He went, "What are the chances of that?" "Well, fuck me. Two of us in Worthing." "Oh, Jesus Christ."
"God, yeah." And she said, "You best just leave now." I was like, "I'm so good sorry." Yeah, oh God, yeah.
Rather than saying, "I'll give you one last chance."
No, I was caught utterly banged to rights. I've never been so embarrassed in all my life. It's horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Anyway, Lucy, shall we call this show a wrap?
Yes, let's do that. This show is a wrap.
Cool. All right, let's stop the recording.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.